The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined by my co-host, none other than Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Man, it's Tuesday, and football is on. So, the Ravens are playing the Cowboys, and also, Impact is on. Watching Impact live for the first time in a long time, because definitely want to see what this whole Kenny Omega going to Impact is going to lead to. I've heard some rumblings about what might go down and everything. So,
how spoilerific is it?
It's not nothing really spoilerific. It's I was reading that Don Callis contract might be up soon, so he may be making a jump over to AEW.
So, but this to serve as the Mo Meltzer portion of the proceedings?
Well, a couple of stuff for the Mo Meltzer part.
Okay, but we'll go ahead and we'll start with there. So Don Callis's contract is up, and people
they're saying that he may make a jump over to AEW, and I think that they're doing like the whole, I think it's gonna be something about he'd have a match there with somebody, and the Good Brothers might have a match over AEW.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, I don't know if that was inside. We have to see what goes on in the upcoming, however long it's going to take and everything. So we know we haven't seen Andrade in a while on WWE TV. So there's been talk about him coming back and being paired with Charlotte.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Yeah. So So they say that might help him get, I guess, elevate his star power, so to speak.
Oh, Charlotte giving him the rub. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're saying that Sting may wrestle in AEW. For everybody who was under Rock last week, Sting returned to TNT. Hilarious.
Very nostalgic. A very O-ish moment.
If you were watching WCW during that time, Nitro and everything, so you know that Sting was a very strong, very strong component of Nitro and his success. So they say he's had a multi-year deal and he's going to be wrestling full time. So Tony Khan must know something that we don't know.
Tony Khan got those good doctors with those
yeah, but say, X-rays. Sting is 61.
Okay. Terry Funk is 70 whatever. Sting's in way better shape than he is, and Terry Funk's still out here having wrestling matches.
Yeah. If we get a chance to, so Mauro Ranallo, he talks about why he left the WWE. Basically, he said it was it's one of the mentally grueling places, and he says it's not a criticism, but you know, it's the reason. It's the reason why Vince McMahon is built his empire the way it is, and everything. So, you know, things have to be a certain way, so to speak. So, you know, he just said it was mentally grueling. So then he left. You know, he started. You know how we don't know how he started. He started out and everything, calling matches and everything. And the way he was calling matches was just, you know, just something different. And it kind of, those moments that happened, you know, he gave us nostalgia in matches that we saw and everything. So it's just basically like, you know, we kind of missed that and everything. We missed that aspect of, you know, wrestling, just the shared excitement, you know, that when something happens and a big moment happens, you know. But yeah, so it's an interview he has. He's talking about that. And also, if you saw SmackDown Matters last week, you saw that Steve Cutler and Wesley Blake are now teaming up with what's that boy name? King Corbin. So apparently, Jackson Ryker will be working with Elias.
Like as a tag team, or
but I don't know. So they was on main event, and he was out there with him last night, and it wasn't no match because he just came out there and he was just saying, and R-Truth came out there and was saying he liked his. It was like a whole "I like my music better" kind of segment. So they gonna have Jackson Ryker with Elias, I guess, going forward. Cause it was talk about what was his status in the company when we saw the other two gentlemen back on SmackDown. They were like, "What's going on, Jackson Ryker?" And he said, "Jackson Ryker is, he's over on I guess he'll be on Raw going forward. So we'll see how that works out."
Jackson Ryker and Elias is Spider-Man meme.
Also, want to say time to say rest in peace to Pat Patterson. Definitely a legend in this business. You know, come as to what he did for creative and WWE, and also for what he created, what he did for and being the father of the Royal Rumble match and everything, you know.
Yeah,
it's the last and you hear a lot of the superstars talk about what he meant to their careers and everything, you know, and how he helped them. He gave them a lot of knowledge in the business. But ever since I heard about his passing, I wanted to pose this question to you: who do you think will it will never be another Pat Patterson, but who will be that person who will do the same for the talent that's coming up to this generation and the next?
If he goes into this full time after he is done, and he has already said that this is pretty much his last run, I would say Daniel Bryan, because everybody pretty much likes him. He's, you know, into all types of wrestling and into a lot of creative type finishes. You know, he was helping with SmackDown for a few months during the pandemic, and you could always tell, you know, Daniel Bryan influence match as far as the creative went. So I think it would be Daniel Bryan. I just think he has that personality that everybody likes, and you know, he's just so, as far as, you know, the business side of the business goes, he's just so smart. So I would choose him. Right, that's a walk, right?
Yeah. I would definitely say ever say him. I was thinking Shawn Michaels, even though he's been doing that, you know, right now as being as creative and everything. But I was gonna say him, but Daniel Bryan definitely could be that one that that gives pass off that knowledge to the wrestlers coming up and everything. It's just a lot. You know, this is so that, you know, when somebody means a lot to the industry and how they've helped mold careers, you know, things they've done creative, things like that, things they came up with. You know, if you listen to Bruce Pritchard podcast, something to wrestle with, he details a lot that Pat Patterson has done a lot. Jim Ross as well too. They'll say that he's done a lot in shaping like the careers of wrestlers and how certain things go with storylines and things like that. So he would definitely be missed. And you know, he was also the first openly gay wrestler in the industry that's very, you know, taboo about things like that. But he lived his life as he's been known to sing, he did it my way. And so, you know, that's what his legacy would mean to the WWE and to wrestling overall. So definitely gonna miss him, you know, just seeing him, you know, just, you know, especially my just watching him, he was, you know, one of the students, and that's always just what I'm just gonna remember that as. And it was one of some of the greatest, funniest moments in WWE history. And Jim, you hear Jim Ross saying, "Tell me some fellas, he's still single."
Yeah, I think a lot of people got reintroduced to him during the Legends House, especially when the network first came out, and he was a big part of Legends House. And I think a lot of people got introduced to him there and just found out how funny he is and charming and quick-witted he is. So yeah, just a big loss for WWE especially, but the wrestling business as a whole with Pat Patterson. Like you said, just so many different people, past, present, and from WWE guys, former WWE guys especially, just all with such great things to say about Pat Patterson, and genuinely great things to say. So that rarely happens. You know, when someone dies, everybody has something good to say about them. But Pat Patterson was definitely one of those people. Is that all you got for the Mo Meltzer news segment this week?
That's it. Anything else that might pop up, I'll let you know. But that's it for right now.
All right, before we get into Monday Night Raw, since we didn't do this on the dark match, we'll give people a little bit extra here. Just your thoughts on the War Games NXT TakeOver this past weekend. The card as a whole, favorite matches, what just got out of it?
I enjoyed War Games. I enjoyed it. It was a great event to watch. I was definitely surprised that Indy Hartwell got the pin on EO. Not Indy Hartwell. Raquel Gonzalez. You see tall women, you just be like, boom, it's a blur. But yeah, Raquel Gonzalez with the getting the pin on EO. I was like, might be something telling there, but. That was a great match. Definitely enjoyed. I overall enjoyed it. We had great matches from the triple threat for the North American title, all the with Johnny Gargano capturing the North American title. I'm hoping they let this title get to breathe and let us get a nice run with it, because it's like doing this whole hot potato thing is not really, it's not really helping the belt out. It's just, you just passing it along every so often. But And that was a good match. Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa. Thatcher air bleeding. Ooh, I was just like, I just like looked away and came back. I was just like, what the hell happened to his ear? And it was like, oh, you know, they had said something had happened. I was like, this is, I mean, that was a bloody mess right there.
Yeah, he hit him with a knee strike flush.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Versus cauliflower ear. Yeah.
Oh, man. And then we had the men's war games match was great too. The Undisputed Era picking up the win. It was definitely some near finishes that happened in that match. Crazy thing about the war games, the one from last year, they edited out where Britt Baker was shown on screen. they edited that out now, so now you won't. So Britt Baker, you won't be able to see her concerned face, you know. And then what happened was the Ravens got an interception and they kind of just threw me off at the moment. and then they just scored. Yeah, definitely trying to multitask. It's kind of difficult talking, watching the Ravens on one thing got the impact on the other one. But it was a great event, and it's interesting. It's going to see where we will have. They show Finn say he's coming back Wednesday, and Karrion Kross was coming back as well too. But y'all was so happy about seeing Scarlett back. Y'all was like, oh yeah, Karrion's will be there too.
Yeah, the main attraction is coming back.
And I was like, yeah, that guy who wrestles, he'll be back too, I guess.
Yeah, nobody really is that excited to see Karrion Kross, but you know, it's the package deal, so we'll you know.
Like, hey, you want to see her? You gotta see him,
right? Yeah, so tune in to the NXT cast. More than likely on Friday, it'll be in your podcast feeds as me and Miss Simi will break down the entire card blow by blow and get really in depth into this year's War Games. I thought it was an excellent show, but I'm not going to give too many of my thoughts here.
Oh, he's not going to give y'all the scoop because this is not NXT cast. It's not that show. That's right.
But what
also but they got New Year's Evil. That's the next NXT proper show coming up in January. So, and they said it's a WCW deep cut show from years ago.
Okay, I don't remember that, but that must have been.
It was an episode of Nitro. I was.
Okay.
So.
So they didn't want to bring. They didn't want to do Starrcade, so they brought back this New Year's January thing. Okay.
I got you. Yeah.
They should make Starrcade. That takeover should be Starrcade, and then the War Games is a part of the Starrcade.
It would definitely help them out a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think they should make that switch for the December takeover. If they keep it, you know, pretty much that last takeover of the year is, you know, second week in December, that would be a great way to honor the Starrcade name and just have War Games be the like two feature matches of the card. And then that
right.
way, that would be like Dusty's two biggest creations sandwiched together in one event. So that'd be a critical way to honor him. Like Mo to the underscore reset, this is the Rawcast where we talk exclusively about Monday Night Raw. We're about to what happened this past Monday night on USA. We head to the ring with Randy Orton standing in the middle of it. He says that any ordinary man would tremble at the thought of facing the Fiend, but he is no ordinary man. He smashed his moral compass years ago, and unlike the Fiend, he doesn't need to wear a mask to let the darkness out. He is the most evil son of a bitch on planet Earth. He says today he'll be knocking on that funhouse door, waiting and wondering who will let him in. Firefly Funhouse music hits and the screen lights up in the primary colors. Bray waves and says hello to Randy. He says Alexa would have been there, but since Orton was so mean to her last week, Bray is all alone. Orton warns him that he is the last person to play games with. Bray hears game and we're welcome to Let's Get Randy, a game show where Ramblin' Rabbit, Huskus, and Mercy play for a prize. Randy says he wants a match tonight and says he'll see the Fiend at TLC, but tonight he wants a match with Bray. Bray accepts and waves bye-bye. So, opening segment thought, sir.
Okay. A few things. Alexa Bliss missed the show because she's filming Punky Brewster.
Do what?
Yeah.
Punky Brewster?
Yes, Punky Brewster.
Is she Punky?
I don't think she's Punky, but she's going to be on. I think she's involved with the show.
Is this like a Netflix deal?
It might be Peacock, the streaming service from NBC.
Yeah, okay.
It might be Peacock. I'm not too sure, but I know that's why she missed the show.
Oh well, the kind of Alexa Bliss has another one not too long for the WWE.
Yeah. I like this opening segment. I was laughing at the game show portion of it. That was really just hilarious. That was really hilarious. And Bray with that wig on had me laughing. Bray that wig, that toupee wig, whatever, had me laughing. So it was a nice opening segment leading up to what we was going to see later on.
We are informed after recapping last week that Lana and Asuka are going to get a tag team title shot at TLC. Asuka is here with her partner for some action next. Nia hypes Shayna up backstage. So that leads us to Asuka versus Shayna Baszler. Lana sends Nia into the steps. She hops up onto the steps and flies off, and Nia catches her. But Lana turns it into a Hurricane Rana, sending Nia into the announce table. Shayna points at Lana, yelling at her, telling her to get back here. That allows Asuka to roll up Shayna for the 1-2-3.
Shayna's taking these pins.
Mm-hmm.
She's taking these pins. Something's telling about that.
We couldn't find an established tag team, so we just gonna throw Lana and Asuka together and have them supposed to be, you know, the best challengers for the women's tag team titles. That's the only thing I don't like about the way that this division has been ran the last couple of months. It's just that, like, okay, why don't you take some time and establish some tag teams? Like, you were doing good
right
with Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. Unfortunately, Mandy got hurt. Okay, so maybe you had to change your course. But, I mean, you know, do something. Put some people together that's, you know, not the main women's champion. Put Lana together with somebody else and give them some chemistry and work their way up, and then they could be a viable threat. Because, I mean, you're wasting Asuka. We could have got like a couple of singles programs from Asuka in the last couple of months that could have helped the women's title, but it's not the way they're going.
Right. It's just crazy. It's like you have all this talent, and it's like you're just wasting it away just by doing other things. Like, Asuka hasn't really defended her title. Sheesh. When was the last time she defended her title?
It's been a minute. It was probably against Sasha, maybe? Class champions.
Wow. That's been a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's been in this kind of whole makeshift. No, she basically it was against Lana. Lana had got the title shot.
Oh, okay. Does that really count? I mean, it technically it does, but I mean, seriously.
You're right. That's what we're dealing with.
The Hurt Business is backstage, and they decide to bully a boy with a box. Later tonight, Sheamus and Drew are going to face The Miz, John Morrison, and AJ Styles in a handicap match. Also tonight, Ricochet will team with Dana Brooke to take on Slapjack and Reckoning. Backstage, Dana Brooke is showing her black eye to Ricochet. In comes Matt Riddle with some bro nuts. He's looking for MVP. He congratulates the crew on their tag team match later tonight. He offers his bro nuts, then says if he sees the Hurt Business to let him know.
So I guess this whole thing with Matt Riddle is he's just being annoying backstage.
You got the old Sami Zayn gimmick?
Pretty much.
In comes Sarah. She asks, what propelled him to drop the Lonely Crusade? And as she's talking about Ricochet, asks Ricochet, what propelled him to drop the Lonely Crusade and team with Dana Brooke? Ricochet calls Retribution complete jackasses and says there is strength in numbers. So tonight they will show Retribution what real change is all about. So we have Reckoning and Slapjack with Mustafa Ali versus Ricochet and Dana Brooke.
I wonder what the words of Mustafa Ali did to... So the question is Ali inspiring his troops or is he manipulating them?
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen,
Tommy. Here comes Ricochet. Slapjack must come in.
Oh, yes, he does. Whoa! Beautiful Hurricane Rana. And Slapjack's taking a break.
Uh-oh. I don't know if it's a break. Oh, Ricochet over the top wipes out Slapjack. And I'm Ali looking on.
You belong with us.
I think Ali's words are just firing up Ricochet. Oh, and look at Slapjack respond with a modified Falcon Arrow. Here's the cover and a kick out. Ali barking direction. Reckoning might have been distracted there. Dana Brooke with the sit-out slam. Here's the cover. Dana Brooke is pin Reckoning again.
Here are your winners. The team of Ricochet and Dana Brooke.
For the second week in a row, Dana Brooke has pinned Reckoning. And Mustafa Ali is not happy, guys. Big win for Ricochet and Dana Brooke here against Retribution.
Again, what did I tell you before?
Again, highly disappointed with Reckoning and Slapjack.
This is something I didn't have in my 2020 bingo card. Me and Yim taking pins against Dana Brooke.
Yeah, man, it's hard as they give you the hard tease with me and Yim and possibly Asuka. Maybe creating and starting something, and then they just make this hard left, and all of a sudden it's Dana Brooke and Mia Yim, and then it's Mia Yim losing matches to Dana Brooke. Yeah, it's definitely head scratching all the way around in terms of you know, who they're trying to showcase.
Right. I guess it's because it's a lot that's going on, you know, injuries and everything. So I guess they had to call the audible. So this is what we're getting.
Yeah. You know, card subject to change. That's what they've always said in the professional wrestling game. And so that means that they, you know, they use a lot of pencils, not a lot of pens in that industry. So.
Right.
Ali runs into the ring to berate Mia. He yells that they embarrassed him. He pulls them up. This is how they repay him. He leaves the ring as Ricochet and Dana flex at the top of the ramp. Keith Lee walks up to Sheamus backstage to tell him that no one buys his good guy routine, and it's only a matter of time until he stabs Drew in the back. Sheamus says excuse him while he turns on the champion and beats the hell out of him. You know what? This may be signaling. This may be like Keith Lee slowly beginning to turn, and he's accusing Sheamus of you know, because that's like the second week in a row he's confronted Sheamus about, you know, like, hey man, we don't believe you. You know, nobody back here is buying your steez. And this could maybe be a slight way of him actually being the one that's turning heel.
I don't know if you saw his chronicle, Keith Lee's chronicle.
I watched maybe the first 10 or 15 minutes of it.
Oh, okay. I watched the entire thing. Pretty good.
Yeah, it started out really good just to see his journey as far as, you know, being a young man and growing up and being in the football and having a, right. You know,
it's always the grandmothers who got guys watching wrestling back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then how he basically, the love of football, he said, didn't outweigh his love of trying to be a professional wrestler. So he, you know, left the football scholarship and went to try to go out on his own to pursue his wrestling career.
He had three tryouts prior in WWE before he came up, I think, first in FCW, and they showed the tryout he had there. Then they showed his tryout in 2011 and 2016.
I think in 2016, it literally came down to like him and Willie Mack as like the last two people that they decided from, because Willie Mack almost got chosen too, but he didn't.
And Willie Mack definitely could have been. We see what he did in Lucha Underground, and also he does some good things over Impact too. So Triple H kind of let that slip. Whoever was doing creative kind of let that slip through his fingers. Mm-hmm. But basically, it was basically like he credited the whole Bask in My Glory to
the Dusty. Dream, baby, the dream. Yeah, he does say that he has like a presence or something that he could just bask in, and yeah. So yeah, check that out. It's really well done. Shows you some, you know, good family pictures of Keith Lee as a young man, high school age, college age. Just a lot of indie wrestling footage from him, you know, breaking in, trying to get his feet established in the business. So yeah, I did enjoy it. I might have got more than 10 minutes in. I might have did about 20 before my stream started acting up, and I was like, okay, it's bedtime. Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty good. That was pretty good. So yeah, but Keith Lee, you know, he definitely, I mean, I could see the seeds turning, but being planted for a heel turn. You never know. So we'll see.
Back from the commercial break, and the Miz and Morrison are in the middle of the ring. They have a special guest. He is the self-proclaimed phenomenal one. Miz apologizes because he couldn't find a chair big enough for AJ's bodyguard. AJ says he prefers to stand anyway. Miz brings up the match with Drew coming up, saying it's a TLC match. What's the plan? AJ says this is the first time he's ever faced Drew, but it's pretty simple. He's going to take a steel chair and wrap it around Drew's back until it breaks. Every table he sees, he's putting Drew through it. He'll be coughing up splinters for months. Drew is huge, his heart is bigger, his strength and passion shine through, but it all won't mean a thing when he knocks him out cold and climbs up the ladder to grab the title. Miz and Morrison says that'd be great to see if Drew even makes it to TLC. Miz does some sort of weird accent. Morrison tries to mock Drew. Miz and Morrison go back and forth doing accents to one another. AJ says that was so good. Morrison says that he's been watching a lot of Shrek. Sheamus comes out. He says that this was brilliant. Nailed the accents right down to the, you know, very T. He said, hats off, top notch. But as entertaining as this was, he is sick to the back of his teeth of people telling him how he is not how he is going to betray Drew. Sheamus says he can transport himself back to a pub in Dublin if he closes his eyes. But truth is, if this was a pub in Dublin, he'd nail their asses to the bar and do a bunch of other stuff. Sheamus does have a friend though, and his sword is unsheathed. Where does Drew begin? How about with AJ? So hostile. So many threats. Drew makes promises, not threats. He gives props to Miz and Morrison for keep coming back for more. He says guys in the locker room have been talking crap, though, saying Miz has no balls. Drew knows it's not true. He has balls, just not his original pair. It's clear that Maurice keeps them in her purse, and he has replaced them with Morrison's balls. AJ is outside the ring with his bodyguard. And says it's 4-on-2, so Drew and Sheamus clear the ring of Miz and Morrison. Drew throws Miz's briefcase all the way across the ramp onto the stage, breaking a portion of the LED board. Man, he saucered that damn briefcase, man.
That's when they throw that briefcase, that thing go flying. They get some air on that.
Man, he threw that like 30 yards.
Right.
That thing was... Yeah, nice little, you know, back and forth here. Drew coming out, you know, talking down to AJ, you know, making some points about their match coming up. Still trying to throw a little bit of that intrigue in there with Sheamus and Drew. Is it really going to work out? Sheamus just laying in wait. So, and Miz and Morrison being the good instigators and shit stirrers that they are. Pretty solid segment. Kofi Kingston versus Shelton Benjamin. We get some action on the outside. Kofi rolls into the ring. The ref gets to a count of 8. Kofi connects with the Trouble in Paradise, and he pins Shelton Benjamin to get the win. Cedric grabs the mic. He says, nah, man, they need to run that back. Cedric wants a match with Kofi in the ring right now. He says he's going to wipe the floor with Kofi. Xavier Woods wonders how many times they're going to have to do this. Kofi limps back to the ring, ready to give Cedric what he wants. So now we have Kofi Kingston versus Cedric Alexander. Kofi drops Cedric Alexander chest first into the mat. Kofi stands. He flies into the ring, but he lands on his bad leg. Cedric grabs him. He hits him with the lumbar check, and he pins Kofi Kingston for the 1-2-3.
Okay. Let's talk about this whole scenario right here. So Kofi and Shelton had a great match. You know, Kofi got the win and everything, and Cedric has really been on one, basically just like, you know, talking trash and just stepping up. And I was just watching MVP's like kind of this reaction to it, but you know, as long as he's getting those wins, he's letting it slide and everything. Cause I thought he was just going to try to. I thought when we saw them earlier, he was just kind of pulling back in, like, hey, you need to kind of calm down. This is what we do. You know how we kind of operate. But he sees what Cedric is doing, and Cedric is like a house of fire because Cedric hit that lumbar check on Kofi, and Kofi bounced up like somebody just ever after slam dunk the ball after slam dunk and everything. So, definitely was a good match, a follow up match and everything. But Cedric is definitely coming to his own with this hit ever since joining Hurt Business.
Yeah, I have really enjoyed this newfound push for Cedric. Getting more mic time, getting front and center as kind of the person that's getting the most focus in the Hurt Business besides Bobby Lashley right now on the individual basis. So we'll definitely see what this is going to bring them. Hopefully, Hurt Business are on their way to becoming tag team champions. You know, they keep beating Woods, they keep beating Kofi in singles matches. So maybe they'll earn themselves another title match, and the third time will be the charm. The Miz, John Morrison, and AJ Styles versus Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Sheamus tags in, AJ tags in, Irish curse to AJ, bro kick to the Miz, elbow from Morrison, who then misses a crossbody. We get a bro kick attempt at Morrison, but he ducks and it hits Drew. Phenomenal forearm from AJ, and he pins Sheamus 1-2-3. So we have turmoil on the Scottish stepbrothers, Drew and Sheamus, with this handicap match.
Right.
Backstage, Lana says she can't face Nia next week. She will be slaughtered. She won't. She can't. Asuka wants her to say she believes in herself. She can beat Nia Jax. Asuka leaves Lana a chance that she can beat Nia Jax. She turns and Lana is there, hands on hips. Nia just shakes her head no, and she just takes all of Lana's confidence away. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, she definitely was. She definitely was kind of shook, but you know, Lana been kind of, you know, ever since, you know, she hadn't put, you know, tables in a couple of weeks, she kind of, you know, been holding her own. You know, guess you gotta build just, you gotta build your stars up by making them look good, so to speak.
Definitely have to, you know, insinuate what they do the best. Sheamus is backstage. He says he knows Drew is going to come back here and try and kick his ass. And Sheamus says he's going to try to kick his ass as well. He says it wasn't intentional, the road kick that landed upside Drew's head. Drew comes in. Sheamus says it wasn't intentional. Drew says he knows, but Sheamus knows exactly what's about to happen, right? So we come back from break, and Drew and Sheamus are going at it backstage. Wrestlers are everywhere cheering them on. Drew has his phone out. In comes the producer, Pat Buck, to break up the fight. He finally stops both of them, and then Sheamus and Drew look him over. Then they beat his ass. They rip his suit off his body and slam him into a nearby table for catering. Drew laughs it off along with Sheamus. Drew asks, "Pint?" Sheamus replies, "Pint?" They both say yes, and they walk off. You know, all buddy buddy.
All right, so this segment was the one I kept rewinding back and forth. I kept looking at after the show was over because it was just so well done. We see Sheamus and Drew back there fighting, all of, and it was just kind of this crazy how this started. You see like the guy from the Viking Raiders, and he was standing over there with two other wrestlers. They were just kind of looking on in the background, and you could kind of see they knew it was something about to go down. And then all of a sudden, all the other wrestlers popping up. Drew Gulak with the phone recording took me out. He had that. I was about to go world star. And then so they had the referees coming back there trying to break it up. Jamie Noble, he back there breaking it up, and then Pat Buck coming in there, getting in the middle of it. And the fact that he, and it was like, is this guy serious? And then they start beating him down, and then the poor blue striped suit, the old checkerboard suit, just, oh man. And he got slammed through the table. That good old catering fool just got ruined. But I wanted to look at Pat Buck real quick. So, he was born in 84. He did a lot of things on the independent circuit, like Derby City, New England Championship Wrestling, New York Wrestling Connection, Limitless, Ohio, Florida Championship Wrestling, and Ohio Valley. And he did a he has a promotion that he's on the head coach with Kurt Hawkins, Creative Pole New York. He debuted in Ohio Valley in 2005, and he wrestled with he wrestled Mark Henry in his first match. Wrestled Elijah Burks. Also, he wrestled the Highlanders. I don't know if you remember them. Cody. He did wrestle Cody as well, and teamed with Sean Spears. And he had quite a couple matches. Wrestled the late Shad Gaspar. Wrestled the Miz as well too. And he's just been all over the indies. He was in the tag team. He did some work with Drew McIntyre, Kevin Thorne, and Rob Conway. He also was a part of a tag team with Bryce Andrews that lost to Crime Time. So he's been, you know, just wrestling everything. And he was furloughed early this year, but came back in July. So he's been around. He's been around the indies and everything. But I remember I saw something. He fought somebody, I think at Evolve or something like that. He fought somebody at Evolve or something like that. But he's been around for a minute. He's like on the indies a lot and everything.
That's cool that somebody like him, who's been through so many, you know, miles and trips and the car, and, you know, probably wrestle for literally peanuts and some hot dogs, gets a chance to, you know, showcase, you know, what he can do as in a producer role for WWE, and get a little bit of, you know, camera time from here and there as well. He's definitely got to stop wearing his extra good clothes to work.
Right,
get torn up whenever he does that.
It was hilarious just watching how he just watching him break up the fight. So he just stood back and was like trying to help just to stop. He wasn't gonna get involved.
Before Jeff Hardy heads out for his match, Matt Riddle comes up to tell him that his heart hurt more than his head from that attack last week. He wants to become the Hardy Bros with Jeff. He says the finisher could be the Broetry in motion. Jeff tells him that he's got to go.
See, anybody messing with Riddle? He's like, we ain't got time for you. We ain't fucking with you, bro.
Not gonna do it.
Right.
Bobby Lashley versus Jeff Hardy. Flatliner from Lashley for a two count. Jeff kicks out. Twist of fate. Jeff to the top rope. He dives off. He lands on his feet. Lashley is up. He hits him with the spear. He applies the hurt lock. And Jeff Hardy has to tap out. Bobby Lashley won't release the hole. Matt Riddle comes into the ring. Lashley tosses Jeff into Riddle. And that's how that little segment ends.
Yeah, and then MVP ate one of the donuts and then threw it on the ground.
The old bro nuts. Backstage, Randy
Orton. That's nuts for two T's.
Backstage,
yeah.
Orton ponders his life choices. Someone knocks on his door. No one is there. He turns and a rambling rabbit pokes his head in. He says Bray can't wait to see him in the ring. It's going to be so much fun. So our main event of the evening, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. DDT to Bray. Orton calls for the end. Some of the lights go out. Bray Wyatt stands up. RKO to Bray. Cover. We have complete darkness. The lights come back on, but they're all red. Bray is gone, but the Fiend is here underneath Orton. Orton turns, he sees him, the mandible claw, the Fiend chokes Orton out as Orton's fight withers away underneath him. And that is how your Monday Night Raw ended.
Ended with that boy getting choked out.
Yep, they did the old switcheroo from Bray to the Fiend. Wonder how they pulled that off. Camera tricks.
like you said, some things they just don't. You said we just need to keep a secret.
The match was pretty decent. And then, you know, you get your shenanigans there at the end. But not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
They should have a pretty good outing at TLC. You know, they'll probably find some way to make it a plunder match, since that's what The Fiend kind of excels at, you know, more than a traditional wrestling match. And Randy seems to kind of operate better in that mode too. He has more of his more entertaining matches when he has weapons and more brawling that he can introduce to his normal slow down methodical pace. So I'm really looking forward to this Randy Orton Fiend match at TLC. They've done a good job of reeling me in.
Yeah. It's not, it's quite as what we get on SmackDown with Roman and with Roman and Kevin Owens right now, but it's been a pretty compelling storyline going back and forth. You know, we're seeing what's going on and everything.
Just a lot of you know, things coming to the end of the year with TLC, everybody trying to get in a position for the Royal Rumble, where, you know, we'll have new challengers for the championships and new people present themselves as serious contenders. If you had to kind of pick right now, even though it's way too early, who would you like to see be victorious in both Royal Rumble matches?
Jeez. Just pose a question right now. Wow. In the Men's Royal Rumble. Jeez. I would say Owens, Kevin Owens for the men's, let him get the rub. And in the women's. They probably should, if they really wanted to do a surprise wise, it might be Charlotte. She might come back and like to win it. But if I went ahead a wild card, and I really wanted to just like kind of just change up things a little bit, I would give Peyton a rub.
Oh, you gonna look out for Peyton?
Yeah, you know,
okay,
I mean,
okay. Yeah,
she has a great skill set. I'm no denying that. You know, it's just, you know, they split her and Billy Kay up for what?
So Billy Kay has a better gimmick of it all when we didn't think that was not gonna be the case.
Yeah, so they yeah, so that's what I would say. I would say my early calls for the Royal Rumble would be. But we'll see what's going on in the next couple of weeks or so.
Yeah. Things definitely will ebb and flow all the way up into the Royal Rumble, as we definitely know from the reports of what Vince does each and every week to these scripts when people show up to work thinking that they're going to do one thing, and then he gets a hold of them and they're doing something totally different. So at this time, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
Well, first, I want to shout out to the Washington football team for defeating the Pittsburgh Steelers on yesterday. I was happy to see that was the end result. I seen people talking, and next thing you know, I look and I saw the score, and I was like, oh, this happened? And so they've been trolling, like the Washington football team's Twitter account has been trolling for the past couple of hours. Like, they have this "Here Comes the Pain" in the old SmackDown, SmackDown, Raw versus SmackDown video game.
Mm-hmm.
they photoshopped and say, "Here comes the pain." Pain is on the Washington scene, some of the next big thing. And then they was trolling Britt Baker. So when Adam Cole came running down, and Keith Lee not sent him over to the next year.
Yeah, he pounced him over.
So they said the
barrier.
Yeah, so they had Adam Cole. They had 14-0 lead, and then they come and got Washington over Keith Lee's face, knocking him over. And then they say we were feeling pretty limitless yesterday. And then they said good. Something about nerves are still bad. He was trolling Britt Baker as well too, and she was like, she feels personally attacked. Yeah. So she felt attacked.
Like I said, man, we've had some good luck over the past 3 weeks, so we're taking advantage of our good fortune. Caught Pittsburgh at probably the best time of the year to catch them if, you know, the team of Washington's talent level and kind of upstartness was going to get a chance to beat them. That was definitely would have to be the perfect storm coming off of, COVID, issues, and then having their game pushed back and just having their overall rhythm of normalcy broken. Definitely played into Washington's hands. But, the team had to fight back down 14-0. Alex Smith does what nobody thought Alex Smith really could do, which is bring a team back after you get a, two-touchdown lead on them. So it was very enjoyable, and enjoy this, and then, follow it up with a win against San Francisco. And I got to try to keep pace with those Giants because they're starting to play good football as well.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Don. Shout out to our WrestleCast family. Shout out to Semi, who was actually in the broadcast tweets yesterday, dealing with us. Shout out to Jay to the Max. Shout out to Anwar, Terry's boy. Great content that y'all giving with over with the New Japan shows and everything. It's getting to that time of year they're building up for Wrestle Kingdom, so that's gonna be, something that we have to keep our eyes looking forward to. Shout out to Classic as always, shout out to Greg and Sam, shout out to DD, shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to everybody, who tweets with us, Word Exclaim, Khaled Wren, Cammy D, Jubilee Julep. We're trying to get some new faces up in the hashtag. Folks should be coming up there, finding our hashtag, and then they start tweeting with us. So we're trying to like, hey, we do this every week in all our pay-per-views. So come tweet with us, have some fun, meet some new people, share your wrestling knowledge, things like that.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Mo to the _ Reese. You can also hear more of Mo to the _ Reese over on The Push. So shout out to Benny and Sean and Dwayne and Mike over at The Push. So check those guys out, giving you those hot takes when it comes to their wrestling commentary with color. I give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, Miss J to the Max, Anwar Starwin, Miss Simi, Terry's Boy, Classic Materia, Sam, Greg, Miss Jupiter Jula, Madame Lizette, What Sleep Though, all the members of the Globe, Miss Queen Mel Mindy, FNA, Laura Singh. What's going on, Miss Laura Singh? How you been? I hope you've been
doing. Oh, Angela, FNA,
Angelina,
yes, uh-huh. Angelina.
Yep, so shout out to everybody, like Mo said, that rocks with us each and every week in the Rawcast, SmackDown Matters, NXT Cast, Dynamite Cast, everybody who uses the hashtags each and every week. We definitely appreciate your pro wrestling commentary with color. Like Mo says, share the hashtag, retweet, and get some more people into the community. Let them know what we got going on over here and that it's fun and you can, talk pro wrestling the way that you would like to without all the, you know, dude bros showing up in your mentions and things like that. So, also check out the Patreon page where you can hear more content from Mo to the underscore Reese as he talks about the upcoming Slammy Awards, and we give our thoughts about who we think is going to win throughout the different categories. But that can only be found on the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can also find me and Miss Simi over there reviewing AEW Dynamite each and every week. Like Mo to the underscore Reese said, New Japan Pro Wrestling coming up on the finals of the Best in Super Juniors and World Tag League on Friday. So the matchups are set. So there will be a couple of review podcasts getting you set for the finals that are going to take place on Friday night. Over on the Best of the Super Junior side, we have El Desperado taking on Hiromu. So L.I.J. versus Suzuki Gun in one matchup. And then the World Tag League Finals, we have Finjuice, Juice Robinson, a.k.a. C.J. Parker versus David Finley, Fit Finley's son, going up against Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, King Haku's sons, as the Guerrillas of Destiny look to win the World Tag League for the very first time. They've been IWGP Tag Team Champions like four or five times, but they've never won the World Tag League. Finjuice, they're looking to go for unprecedented three times in a row win the World Tag League. Yep. So this Friday, a lot of high stakes. Plus, I'm pretty sure there'll be some things that set up for Wrestle Kingdom, like you said, Mo. So we're coming down the stretch where we're coming into Wrestle Kingdom season for New Japan. So I'm excited to talk to Terry's boy and Anwar. Gonna actually try to knock out three podcasts this week, hopefully, with those two guys. So it should be a lot of fun to catch up with those guys and hear their commentary with color on New Japan Pro Wrestling. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don Delarente. This has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
See ya.
I cannot face Nia Jax next week in the ring alone. I can't. I'm going to get slaughtered. I can't. Look, Asuka, I know that you and I together, we might be able to win the tag titles and achieve the impossible. I mean, we're a good team, right? We're a great team?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's good. But I definitely cannot face Nia Jax next week. Nope. I can't. I won't. I can't. I can't.
Rana, say, I believe in myself.
I believe in myself.
I can beat Nia Jax.
I can beat Nia Jax.
And then we will become women's tag team champions.
And then we will become women's tag team champions.
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can beat Nia Jax. I believe in myself. I can do it. I can beat Nia Jax. I can do it.